We're going to talk about God's reward system this morning, and I wonder, have you ever thought about the minimum wage? I don't want to get too political here, but whose idea was it to have a minimum wage? Somebody who saw something unfair, deemed something was unfair, and thought, they're not getting paid enough. We better have a minimum wage. Should I ask you older folks, and you know who you are, do you remember your first minimum wage?
Yeah.
I see some heads nod. Mine was $1.60. And some people will say, oh, that's not that low. But for me, it was pretty low. Washington, you just heard last week, in the last couple of weeks, Washington, I think some other state, is talking about a $15 minimum wage. What kind of McDonald's hamburger are you going to make or sell to get a $15 minimum wage? We know things are unfair sometimes, and we want to fix them, and we want to take somebody's control, what really belongs to them and should belong to them, and we want to take it and fix it. I'm not sure if we're in that, if we're able to do that. We try and try again. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the laborer deserves his wages. And he does and she does. When we work, and we should, or we don't eat, Paul says, when we work, we deserve a wage. Sometimes we say, hey, God, I don't deserve anything. And in reality, we're right. We don't deserve his grace and what he gives us. But when he puts something in order, and then when he establishes something, he says, yes, you do. You deserve your wage. Way back in Leviticus, it was the law. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Don't withhold it. Give it to him. This is God's way. There's two principles in Luke 10, verse 7. It says, and remain in the same house, he's telling his disciples, eating and drinking, what they provide. So it was up to them to provide something. They didn't really have the right to say, well, could you go out and buy me a ribeye? No, what they provide. But the laborer, again, deserves his wages. So there's something going on there. The principle is, That whatever they have, whoever gives you something for your work, they have the right to give you what they wish, and you agree to. We're going to see that as well. But it does say that the laborer deserves his wages. There's a wonderful story. I've had several discussions over my lifetime in this. This is a very interesting story out of Matthew 20. Now, when those hired first came, they thought, now let me give you some foundation for this. The farmer, he hired somebody. And it says in Matthew 20 that they agreed. The workers agreed to a denarius a day for their labor. And then you remember the story, there wasn't enough laborers, and there's other people who weren't working in the field, and the hire, he goes out and says, hey, you want some labor? Come on and work. And they all go out in the field, and then finally, there's like only an hour or so left in the day, and he comes up to somebody, and he's probably thinking, well, this guy, he needs some work. Come on out and work. So he hires him. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each also received a denarius. They all received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last workers worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give you. And am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity? We think of that man on the cross with Jesus. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, wait a minute, that ain't fair. Crawl down on that cross and do enough labor, and maybe you can get heaven. It's important to note this morning, though, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about your personal reward. Each one of you will be rewarded for your work because, see, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. There's a work that is going on in our life, and God is taking notes. He's making a list of what we've done and what He should reward us for and what He wants to give us. And to be frank with you, I want what He wants to give me. Don't you want what He wants for you? A little child goes to their mom and says, Mommy, look what I made. Or goes to their dad, Dad, look what I can do. You know what they're looking for? Their reward. Their affirmation. Their love of their parents. And I want the love of my Father. And if He has something for me, I want it. I don't want yours. I want what God has for me. Which of you wants God's reward? Which of you wants what God has set aside for you in heaven? I do. We're from a family, both of our families, I think, we're pretty competitive. Wouldn't you think so? And we're from an area where softball is huge. And there's this team that we know of. And for the last few years, when they're playing softball, they're coming in second. And you know, we want to teach our kids, well, that's good, you did good. And I remember hearing a preacher saying, you know, a child will lose and he'll come out crying. And we say something like, it's not how you won or lost, it's how you play the game. Hooey. Tell a little 4-year-old or 5-year-old that when they're coming off the field crying to you. So this softball team is trying hard after the last couple of years, and they keep getting second place. Well, last year, you know what they did with the trophy? They took it to the river and threw it in. I'm not suggesting we do that. You worked hard enough to get second place, you deserve second place. You worked hard, that's a good thing. We take this competitive edge too much, too far, don't we? But the idea is to do our best. There's something inerrant in our lives and in our hearts and our minds to do our best. And we want the reward that comes with that. It's not bad. Competition is not bad. Competition teaches us to do our best. But when we hold competition, when we want that reward more than we want God, when we take competition, you know, as I am better than you and I want you to, you know, fail, and we want to, it can become a prideful thing, that's the problem. But there's something in us that wants to do our best, and it should be that we do our best. Reward is not wrong. In Mark 9, 33 through 37, we find the disciples, and they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked him, what were you discussing on the way? Remember when he ever does that? He's bringing out the things that are hiding in their hearts. And God does that with us. He wants to move us aside, and when you read the Bible, you're reading, and all of a sudden something strikes you. That's when you should stop. And you say, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? Why did that strike my heart or my mind so strong right there? What are you trying to say? So he's bringing this stuff out, and he says, what were you saying? And they kept silent. Guilt. Oops. They know me. He knows me. They kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Here's the issue. Jesus wasn't asked. He wasn't arguing about the need or the desire to be good, even great. He was suggesting that the way to be good for God and great in this life is not the way you and I think it is. It's to do it God's way. And if you want to be great, if you want to stand before your Lord and hear this, well done, good and faithful servant, then this is how you do it. You got to be last. You got to be good at being last. You got to be great at being last. Really, really great at serving. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, and he said to them, whoever receives such a child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. I dare you to go back to the first chapter of Mark and try to find where they were talking about children. How large a scene children had in the book of Mark. Not a lot. Because children are to be seen and not heard. They're kind of the, we love them, and our family, they're ours. And yet, we want to say, would you take your child with you when you go? They're growing up, and they're children. And they're the lowest, in some cases, of society. In some cases, they don't even want them. In some nations, they limit the numbers. And actually, we've been doing that some too. And Jesus is saying, he's taking the lowest common denominator here. He's taking children who we all know and we all love, and yet we don't pay enough attention to. He's saying, if you receive this one, you receive me. There's a great reward in accepting and receiving a child in Christ's name. Romans 4:4 says, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. We want to say, God, we want to be kind of pious and tell each other, you know, I'm not, hey, listen, we don't get anything beyond salvation. I don't really want anything. And yet God is saying that something is due you for the work that you've done. So when somebody goes around and says, you know what? Great job on that work you did. Wonderful work and effort on what you just did. Thank you for that. And we should say thank you, but we should never say, I don't deserve anything. No, it's okay. Just say thank you. It is a hard thing for somebody to compliment us and to say, you know, the Lord is going to, he's going to bless your efforts for what you're doing. But it's something we have to accept and actually, I think, desire. 1 Corinthians 3, it says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages or her wages according to his labor. This is something that we can't get around, nor should we. And actually, it should cause us to say, okay, Lord, I want what you want. Give me that work, so that I can do it the best I can with all my might, so that I can get what you have for me. God set the pattern. We're doing the Truth Project again. I didn't even want to miss 1 week of that. If you've never done that, we need to do it again someday. And I know you've done it 2 or 3 times, but it's a wonderful project. And one of them is the idea of work. That God has given us work to do. He gave Adam work to do. And in Genesis 2, he says, he gave Adam and Eve the work of the fields and the gardens. He said there was no man to take care of them until Adam came up. And then there's a fruit, there's a labor, a reward that happens when we labor. And when Adam labored, he got fruit and things from the ground. When he sinned, the ground was cursed. And he had to work the ground harder, he said, the Lord said, that the ground is cursed. And we're going to have to work harder. That's the part we don't like. That's number one. God set the pattern. Number two, God set the wages. He sets the wages. Again, I'm not talking about salvation. That's a free gift. He sets the wages, and he has something set aside for you. So now we come to Genesis, Mark 9:38, and John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. Truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward." A cup of water. The Lord is going to reward somebody for giving you a cup of water. When somebody gives me a cup of water, I give them a thank you. Somebody offers me a bottle of water, I may pay 50 cents, but I just say thank you. But the Lord is going to reward somebody for helping you. And he's going to reward you for helping somebody. In general, and more specifically actually, he's going to help you for helping his people. For helping those who belong to Christ. So my question is, here's the disciples, and they're stirring up argument and issues and saying, these people don't belong to us. Well, how much good do we have to do to get God's reward? How much gospel do I have to preach? How much water do I have to give to get any reward? And the answer is, if I give one cup of water to one of his, I have a reward. Well, then the competitive edge sets in. I start handing out everybody's water. I start giving those people who need and say, "Lord, I want to please you. If you have something set for me, I want to see it. But Lord, I want to please you. I'm going to give water to as many people who need it, who belong to you." Sometimes we get caught up in somebody else's business. You know, those people over there, they're doing this a little bit, but they're not doing it right. They're just not as good as us, or they're not talking the way I do. They're not doing it the way I want it to be done. They're not of us. That's none of our business. Because Jesus Christ set the wages. If we lower ourselves low enough to help children, the Lord will reward us. Spence writes in his commentary, "Here's a warning against that exclusive spirit, which is eager for its own end rather than for Christ's glory, and would limit the exercise of gifts and grant grace to its own system or school, instead of inquiring whether those whom it condemns are not working in Christ's name and for the promotion of his glory. We want to make sure everybody else is doing it right instead of worrying about what God wants to do with us." Think about these people. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons." Think about this. They were casting out demons. I see somebody casting out demons, I'm going, that is a really good thing. And they're using Jesus' name, that is a fantastic thing. But his theology's a little wrong. He's not a Baptist or an independent non-denominational church member. No, they're doing a really good thing in Christ's name. I think about some apologists and some folks who kind of, first of all, I want to say this, that we all have our area and our gifts. And I believe that there are people out there to help the church set themselves right. And I think apologists should be talking to teachers and pastors and making sure we get it right. But when we start tearing each other down, each other Christians down, we got it wrong. We had it wrong. So when I sit down back in Gary's class, or under Joe, or under Steve, and they are in my realm and they're teaching me what is right, that's good. They're telling me this doctrine or this system, this issue right here is wrong. But because somebody else is doing something wrong, we need to be careful not to tear them down. They're not of us. Jesus said, do not stop them. We want to immediately draw our pistols and say, stop. That verse does come to mind, though, in Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? And Jesus said to them plainly, but I tell you plainly, I never knew you, away from me. And sometimes what we want to do is say, surely they belong in this little verse here. No, that's Christ's judgment. And in fact, this is found in Matthew. And I think that you're going to find that the Pharisees, he was pointing right at the Pharisees in particular. And in the Lord's name, doing these things, they were casting out demons. And the Lord called down judgment on them. And that's his business. But it's not ours. We need to be focused on the reward that the Lord has for us. We need to ensure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and allow him to be the judge. Jesus said, for truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. I think about those missionaries who you've never seen a face, or maybe we've seen a postcard up here. Kay Davidson was mentioned this morning. We met her. They're out there on the tip of the spear, we call it. They're out there, they're gaining their reward, they're doing those things that you and I can't do or don't want to do or aren't called to do, however you want to put it. They're doing some other things that you and I don't really want to do. How much money do you have to give them to get a reward? How much water? How much food? But the point is this, that while they're doing their work and will be rewarded for it, you will receive a reward. God's reward for you, for your hospitality to them. Hospitality is a big deal. You think about what John wrote. He said, beloved, it is a faithful thing for you in your efforts for those brothers, strangers as they are. This is wonderful hospitality here. They are strangers. And John said, this is a very good thing. Strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So when you say a prayer for the missionary, so when you give funds for the missionary, send something to the missionary, don't feel guilty like you're not over there doing that. You are doing a wonderful work on Christ's behalf. John just told you. You're doing a wonderful thing for strangers. In Matthew 10:41, Jesus said, the one who receives, this is a wonderful godly principle that you and I would think, but forget it. This does not work on earth. But this is a godly principle. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. When you take care of somebody, God knows how to reward you. He knows how to take care of you. And I want to talk about political correctness just for a second. There's a couple years ago, I heard if you're a teacher and you do this, please just try to understand where I'm going with this. In particular, the school systems are getting into this idea where everybody needs to be the same. It goes back to the gender thing. It goes back to political correctness, that we treat everybody the same. Now, we need to treat everybody equal, but everybody is not the same. So now we've got to this point where, well, we can't give out awards, we can't give out, you know, this competitive thing, we've got to stop this thing, because everybody's not equal. And what we're teaching when we do that is don't work hard because there's no reward at the end. Don't work hard for the gospel. Don't work hard for the kingdom, because when you get there, you're just going to be on the same plane as everybody else. You know what? Jesus told me that we're going to judge angels. That we're going to live with him in the millennium. I think we're going to be going to and fro on his behalf, doing work. And who he was faithful in little will be given much. So while we need to be careful about teaching people about pride, the right kind of pride in work versus pride in self and being above everybody else, we need to be careful that we teach that there is a system of reward that God has put in place so that people will learn how to work harder, in particular on Christ's behalf. We go to 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul said this: each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. He's not talking about work for salvation. That's anti-gospel. That flies in the face of the free gift of Jesus Christ. But in our work, he's gonna refine all of our work. And you know how that works. When you have a refiner's fire, we just sang it. And when you get that fire hot enough, the impurities come to the top and that's scraped off. I don't know how God does it. But I know this, that he knows how to reward us for the work that we do. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 3, he mentions the word foundation four times. The foundation of Christ. So that's kind of our key. And that's what Jesus was saying. If he's not for us, he's against us. And vice versa. If he's not against us, he's for us. If they are working on behalf of Christ in Christ's name, then they're going to get the reward based on the foundation. We'll let Jesus refine that fire. But it's important to note that if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So there's that salvation, and yet if somebody does not do any work, there's a loss of reward. You'll note that if you go back and read that section, it says, if you work with wood, hay, or stubble, we know that's burned up in the fire. But gold and silver and precious jewels will make it through the fire. So John says, watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. And so there's the idea of measurement in a reward. We can go on more about this. We can belabor this. I just want to say this at the end. In Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, I am coming back. I'm coming back, and I'm going to give to everyone a full reward for their work. He's going to recompense everybody for their work. Unfortunately, that does speak to the idea of the unbeliever as well, which we'll talk about next week. Gary is taking us through Romans chapter 1 right now. And the work that, there's a picture here on it. You didn't want to talk to these all that day, did you? Look at this picture. Sometimes you wonder, you've got these girls on one side, and you got these boys on the other, in VBS, and this competition thing that you have, I'll say you have, for the last couple of years. Remember last year I got a pie in my face. And this year, they were throwing balloons. And the girls won both years. And we can sit back and say, we shouldn't be teaching this kind of competition. Well, first of all, that'd take the fun out of VBS, I think. But secondly, do you know how many kids memorize the verse? We had, I think, 67 kids come through here. And they were either bringing a friend, memorizing a verse, wearing their t-shirt, doing something in the name of Christ. Now, their reward was to throw water balloons. But I honestly think that the Lord is going to reward them, and he's going to reward you for that work. I don't think it's minimal. We think about how many VBSs go on. I know of at least 3 and maybe 4 during that 1 week alone. Maybe 8 during the summer. And those kids go from VBS to VBS to VBS. And we say, well, we shouldn't have one because, you know, there other people are having one. I don't agree. I think that the more that you even give them one more verse to study, that your reward will be great. And I'm not just talking about the 25 or so people who were involved. I'm talking about all of you. Because you all give to this church. You all gave something. And you all continue to give to the work of this church and missionaries that we support. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord. I don't think there's a person in here who doesn't want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to hear you, and we want to see you, and we want that reward. And I pray, Lord, that we lay the crown down at your feet and give it back to you, whatever is proper and right at that time. But we all want to see that happen. Lord, you're going to have to help us. You're going to have to help me get up every morning, get up on Sunday mornings, and get up on those days that we don't feel like getting up and encouraging us and strengthening us to do the work that our feeble bones don't want to do sometimes. Help us, Lord, because we are feeble. And you will help us, you promise to. We love you for that. I thank you for every member of this church, every person in these pews and the ones that are driving on vacation. I thank you for everyone that belongs here, Lord Jesus, doing the work that you've called us to. Thank you for it. Bless them according to your riches and glory, we pray.